It's been 20 years. Iconic guests.
My guest is Danica Patrick.
I mean, you've been doing this for 17 years. You might be the OG of podcasts.
We all know this gentleman. Let's give David Stern a big round of applause. In 2004, we launched Sports Business Radio, and David was kind enough to be my first guest. He was just joking in the green room that he launched my career. So.
He hasn't let me go since. It's really impossible.
My guest is Emmett Smith. I think being authentic, being who you are, and being unapologetic about it, and being open to receive knowledge in areas that you may be unaware of, that's okay too.
My guest is NBA Commissioner Adam Silver.
International growth is something that I'm always thinking a lot about, and both for the NBA and for the game. And it's a recognition that nothing is preordained.
My guest is Bob Costas.
You know, Brian, as you said, I've been so lucky and did so many things that I could never even have dreamed of doing. All I really want to do now is return to the things that are most truthful to me as a person and a professional.
The biggest names in sports.
My guest is Maria Sharapova.
I wanted to be in those rooms and I wanted to be in those meetings because there was something inside of me that said that although tennis was a big part of my life, it wasn't going to be my life in capital letters, and I had to become savvy and smart. A big part of sport is business.
Our guest this week, Sue Bird.
Who told you I'm a bowler? That's hilarious.
I read that you're like a good bowler and you break 200 when you bowl. Is that not true? Is that false media report?
No. That's all fact.
Welcome to year 20 of Sports Business Radio. Now, here's your host, Brian Berger.
Well, thanks for joining us on this edition of Sports Business Radio. Well, after doing this show for 20 years, not many people left on my bucket list. People I've not had the opportunity to speak to over the last 20 years on this show. We're very fortunate to have spoken to some incredible people over the last 20 years. But this guest this week definitely fits the criteria of my bucket list. I put him in the GOAT category. He's a master of his craft. He's a class act on and off the field. It's Greg Maddux. First ballot Hall of Famer, four-time Cy Young Award winner, World Series champion. Maddux updates us on his life and retirement post-Major League Baseball career. A lot of people have wondered, what is he doing now? Doesn't do many interviews. He shares his insight on what it was like having Scott Boras as his agent and the pivotal 1992 contract negotiations that broke down with the Chicago Cubs that led to his signing as a free agent with the Atlanta Braves. By the way, he signs in Atlanta in 1992. He goes on and wins three consecutive Cy Young Awards and a World Series in 1995. I'd say that's got to be one of the greatest signings in Major League Baseball history for a free agent. Talk about great results. He discusses his methodical preparation when he pitched and how being teammates with fellow baseball Hall of Fame pitchers John Smoltz and Tom Glavine with the Braves elevated each other. He reflects on his Nike commercial, Chicks Dig the Long Ball. Maddux tells us if he has a desire to work for a Major League Baseball team again as a pitching coach or not. And he weighs in on whether or not he thinks his hometown of Las Vegas will make for a good Major League Baseball market. He also informs us of his upcoming fundraisers at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Those are benefiting the Baller Dream Foundation. He's going to throw out the first pitch at their baseball opening day, March 28th, again, at the Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Then April 27 and 28, Maddux is hosting a celebrity poker tournament, again, at Circa Resort and Casino, benefiting Baller Dream Foundation, which provides various levels of support to alleviate stressors families encounter throughout their cancer journey. You can visit CircaLasVegas.com or BallerDream.org for more information. I'm joined by executive producer Brian Griggs. Griggs, this is a great interview.
It sure is. And when you told me you had Maddux coming up, I'm like, okay, so I grew up, I was a pitcher in Little League. So he was like one of my guys I loved to watch because he was masterful on the mound and controlled the game. And I mean, I kind of modeled my game. I loved watching him play and I loved going out and pitching like Maddux when I went on the mound. So man, he's the iconic Hall of Famer, just a cool guy and a fun interview. He's got some great stuff coming up. So yeah, stay tuned for this one.
I mean, if you're a youngster and you never watched Greg Maddux pitch, please get onto YouTube or go somewhere and watch him. I mean, this guy we have a pitch clock now in Major League Baseball, and I discussed this with him. He was the pitch clock. Like, he mowed batters down so quickly, and it wasn't with the power of a Randy Johnson or a Roger Clemens or even a Pedro Martinez. He was surgical in hitting his spots. He once had a 78-pitch complete game in 2 hours and 7 minutes. So when he was on the mound, he worked quickly. He was like the pitch clock before the pitch clock. And whether or not you wanted to get hit off of him or not, I mean, this is a guy who during those 4 years when he won four consecutive Cy Young Awards, his ERA was 1.58. And what makes this even more remarkable, Griggs, look, it's pretty clear now that when he pitched and during that era, there was performance-enhancing drugs, right? There were players that were using performance-enhancing drugs. For him to put up the stats that he put up during that era is even more remarkable, in my opinion.
100%. And like you said, he just mowed batters down. He was so methodical and so quick and so efficient. Like, I feel like the batters were worn out just because they're, you know, in that era, batters would take forever. They'd step out of the box. They'd come in. They'd, you know, do all this stuff. And he'd just whip them past these guys. They couldn't keep up. It was so fun to watch.
Yeah. And I did, you know, he loved the Cubs, as you'll hear him say. But going to that Braves staff with Glavine and Smoltz, I really think, I mean, we've had John Smoltz on. You can go back and listen to that interview. They elevated each other.
Yeah.
They watched each other starts. They charted pitches. They took notes. You'll hear Maddox talk about, you know, how he studied film and prepared for his next start. They all had different approaches, but it all worked. And they all, you know, whether it was on the golf course with each other being competitive or whether it was, you know, on a start and did I get a hit? Because this is back when pitchers could hit. You know, Maddox stole 11 bases in his career. Like, they wanted to be complete baseball players, not just pitchers. And, you know, those guys were amazing. I was one of my favorite teams to watch was the Atlanta Braves. Maddox is my all-time favorite pitcher. Like, I don't want a fanboy out here. But when I was growing up, Greg Maddox was my favorite pitcher. If I could watch one pitcher, it was him. And, you know, I just love that the guy looked like a professor, college professor, and that he'd take the mound and just mow everyone down. And you're like, wait a minute, that guy doesn't look like a guy that would, you know, end a game in 78 pitches in 2 hours and 7 minutes. And he just did. So he didn't look the part. That's one of the funny things about the Chicks Dig the Long Ball commercial from Nike. Like, Glavine and Maddox, they didn't look the part, but boy, were they effective. They're both Hall of Famers. And, you know, anytime we can get someone like a Jack Nicklaus or an Abby Wambach, a Greg Maddox, an Emmett Smith, a Sugar Ray Leonard, when you're getting people in the GOAT category on this show, I think everyone learns. And, you know, the last thing I'll say is this. There's a lot of athletes and coaches who don't know how to ride off into the sunset of retirement. They still want to, you know, be getting their per diem. They want to be involved. They want to do a broadcast. They still have the itch to be around the game. I think Max loves baseball, but he's doing retirement well. And I think that's an art too. How do you look back at your career? You appreciate it, but you say, I did it. And you move on with the rest of your life and you don't do what you were doing the first, you know, 30 or 40 years of your life for the rest of your life. So I give him a lot of credit. You'll hear him say that he still plays golf with Glavine and Smoltz. Like, I love that they've stayed in touch, but he's enjoying life now. And that makes me happy. He can dabble in baseball, but I like when people enjoy the rest of their life after retirement because, you know, we've talked about this a lot on the show, Griggs. When you retire, you know, you're 40 years old or so. You still have half your life in most cases or more than half of your life to live. So having a purpose after retirement is important. And I love what Maddox is doing in retirement.
Yeah, I think, and you ask him that too. You're like, you know, you're enjoying retirement. He's like, I love it. I get to have a glass of wine with my wife and watch a Netflix show at night. Like, I love how real he becomes in this interview, and you'll hear it because he is enjoying it. You know, he's lived a great life and he's still living a great life and making a difference, but he's having fun. He's chilling. He's relaxing. He's got a place in California on the beach. He's in Vegas. He kind of bounces back and forth. I mean, it sounds like he's having a great time with it, and that's awesome.
You're listening to Sports Business Radio. We'll be right back after this.
There's nothing common about you, not your talent, your drive, your achievements, or even your challenges. You need distinctive financial strategies that match your lifestyle and career trajectory. Morgan Stanley Global Sports and Entertainment was created to address your specific needs at every stage of your career and deliver the financial education and strategies you need to help advance your game plan. They speak the language. They know your business. Morgan Stanley will work with you to achieve your goals. I've trusted Morgan Stanley with my personal wealth management for almost 20 years. Visit Morgan Stanley at morganstanley.com/GSE. That's morganstanley.com/GSE.
Now, back to Sports Business Radio with Brian Berger.
All right, on our show next week, I'm going to be joined by Joanne Scott, the Vice President of Men's Basketball for the NCAA. We're going to preview the operations and everything around the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship. So Joanne joins me every year on this show. It's a really unique look, much like when we have Peter O'Reilly on from the NFL to preview the Super Bowl. This is taking you behind the scenes into the operations of the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship. She doesn't have anything to do with the Women's Basketball Championship, so we'll just be talking about the Men's Basketball Championship. But it's always great to get Joanne's perspective from the Selection Sunday show to, you know, what's new with the tournament. You know, for instance, Griggs, I know I have Max, and the games will all be streaming on Max. So, you know, I can watch anywhere. I can watch on my TVs. I can watch on my tablet. I can watch on my phone. Like, I love the fact that, you know, the March Madness app is good, but like, I get Max, and Max is very easy for me to use. So I just like that the tournament is showing up in more places and it's easily consumable by people like us.
Well, they're adapting to the times. You know, it is streaming world now, and I agree. I think BR Sports with Max has been awesome. I've been watching the TNT games for the NBA and some of the hockey games, and March Madness on there is going to be awesome. And Joanne is talking about a masterclass. I mean, she walks you through everything, and you learn so much about how big this event really is. I mean, it's scattered across the country. It's streaming. It's on, you know, four networks or whatever it is. So she's always great. I love listening to it. And then you go back like a year before and see how much has changed in a year just in the product. So it's always fun to have Joanne on.
All right, coming up next, 355 game winner, Greg Maddux. You're listening to Sports Business Radio. We'll be right back. Hey everyone, Brian Berger here. I love innovation and I love tech. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about what MatSing is doing. You may have a solid wireless network at your venue, but do you have the highest performing antennas in the world to power your network? MatSing is the leader in multi-beam lens antennas. Venues such as AT&T Stadium, home of the Dallas Cowboys, Allegiant Stadium, which is home of the Las Vegas Raiders and Super Bowl 58, and Amalie Arena, which is home of the Tampa Bay Lightning, all have MatSing's innovative lens antennas. As a matter of fact, MatSing's antennas are deployed at over 100 venues globally, including 50% of NFL venues, 35% of NBA and NHL venues, several Formula One racetracks, and even at the upcoming 2024 Paris Olympics. Do you want to deliver a fully connected venue experience to your fans? Then MatSing is the key to delivering a best-in-class mobile experience for fans who want to post pictures, watch videos, order food, or place real-time wagers. For more information on how MatSing can help your venue, visit MatSing.com. That's MatSing.com. Or email Tracy Salazar at TracySalazar@MatSing.com. That's Tracy Salazar at MatSing.com. MatSing is the exclusive antenna partner of Sports Business Radio.
Now, back to Sports Business Radio with Brian Berger.
My guest is Greg Maddux, first ballot baseball Hall of Famer, four-time Cy Young Award winner, World Series champion. He's the only player in Major League Baseball history to win 15 games for 17 straight seasons, 355 wins in his career. He holds the record for most Gold Glove Awards with 18. Greg is joining me on behalf of Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas and the Baller Dream Foundation. We're going to discuss that in a minute. Greg, thanks for joining me on Sports Business Radio. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, this is wonderful. I'm based in Portland, Oregon, home of Nike. And you appeared in one of my favorite commercials ever, Chicks Dig the Long Ball. I think people are so interested in how did that commercial come about? How'd they approach you for that?
Well, I think back in the day, it was all about home runs. That's when McGuire and Sammy Sosa were doing their thing. And Nike just came up with the idea that pitchers matter too. And me and Glab were fortunate enough to be chosen to do that commercial. I think even today, we still hear Chicks Dig the Long Ball, you know, and that's something we did close to 30 years ago. So it's pretty cool.
How long did they take to film that spot? It looks like, I think you did it in Philadelphia and Florida, right?
And Colorado. We did it in three cities. It probably took 2 or 3 months to do. And back then, we had no idea. We were shooting a scene in Florida that ended up being the last scene of the shot. Next month, we did stuff in Colorado. So we didn't know what was to make of it. You know, we just had like 2 hours blocked out each day before the games. And they had us just saying lines and doing our skit. And then, you know, about three months later, it all came together. And it was a pretty cool commercial.
That's great. Scott Boras was your agent. What was it like to work with him?
Scott, very good. I mean, you're only as smart as the advice you receive, right? And Scott gave really good advice. You know, we had a lot of contract negotiations over the years and turned down a couple deals. We weren't sure if we were doing the right thing or not. But over time, you know, Scott definitely proved his worth. He saved us a lot of money, obviously, over the years by not signing contracts too early, and highly recommend them to any young player that's looking for the right guy.
It seems like after that 1992 season, you were drafted by the Cubs. You were such a star with the Cubs. You make the decision to go to Atlanta. Walk me through that decision, because that seems like it was probably the most pivotal business decision of your career.
Well, the Cubs made it easy for me. I think at the time I didn't have a contract offer from them. So there was a lot said and written, but the bottom line is when I got on a plane and went to New York, I had no contract offer from the Cubs. Originally, I had never wanted to leave Chicago. I think they were my first team. I wanted to stay there. I felt like I did everything in the world I could to stay there. The contract negotiations broke down late in my sixth year. Things were said at the All-Star break that words were said that didn't prove to that weren't kept towards the end of the year. You know, very simple. I was offered a contract by the Cubs. I had 24 hours to sign it. It was well below market value. Thinking there would be negotiations for the next day, the next week, the next month, however long it took. And I was wrong. I had 24 hours to sign that contract. I called their bluff. It wasn't a bluff. And I was forced to go elsewhere. So I ended up in Atlanta, and the grass was greener on the other side. I didn't know it at the time, but very fortunate to go to Atlanta and get a chance to play with Glab and Smoltzy and Chipper and a bunch of other great teammates, and made friends there. Still have friends today that we met in Atlanta. We actually saw them last month. They came to Vegas, and wouldn't trade it for anything in the world.
That's amazing. I've had Smoltz on this show, and he said if he didn't play with you and Glavin, he doesn't know that he would have had the career that he had, because the three of you elevated each other. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, there's probably a lot of truth to that. I think we hung out together. We played a lot of golf together. We shared a lot of success together. And it just made us want to keep going. You know, you get a little taste of success and you want to keep tasting it again and again and again. And I think we were able to do that for, you know, I was with those guys for 11 years. And, you know, Glavin Smoltzy, I think they were 14 or 15 years, maybe even longer. So we enjoyed each other's company. We had the same goals every year. We all wanted to do as well as we possibly could. And we all wanted to try to win that World Series ring. We got one. You know, it'd be nice to have a few more, obviously. But we do have one, and a lot of great memories because of it.
I'm so interested in process of elite athletes like yourself. And, you know, you're as prepared as any athlete that I've ever watched. Can you take a minute or two and kind of walk me through your process from the end of a start until your next start? Because, again, it seemed like you guys were charting pitches, you were talking to each other, and you had a very methodical process.
Well, I mean, it was, you know, it was a very simple goal. It was when you go to the park, you do something to try to get better. And, you know, you try to win the day. You can't pitch a season in one day, but you could take advantage of that day you have. And, you know, we always had our long-term goals, which was obviously to go to the postseason and get a shot at a World Series ring. But I think it was very important to win the day, to do the things you had to do that particular day to get ready really for your next start, maybe for your next bullpen, or maybe just for batting practice. You know, you're always doing something to prepare for what you had to do next. And I think personally, keeping it simple, trying to win the day, doing what I had to do today to try to get better for obviously my next start.
How much did you study the hitters that you were going to be facing?
Well, that was part of the process. You know, I think we all have our daily routines. And you know, my routine was home games after batting practice was time to watch video. That was, you know, you had about an hour and a half before the game and maybe get a little bite to eat, go in the video room, put in your individual matchups for the nine guys you're going to face over the next 4 days. And you just try to break down each batter. And maybe the first day you take the first three hitters, the second day you take the next three hitters. You know, you don't try to cram it all in one session. It's just more of a routine. And then on the road, you would do it before batting practice. So you would allow yourself, you know, that hour, hour and a half each day to go in and watch video on the road. And, you know, that was my mental preparation. That was my preparing my game plan part of it was just all through video.
You were a pinpoint pitcher. I mean, accuracy, and you hit your spots like no one I've ever seen. Because of that, did that take extra preparation to know exactly where you needed to pitch someone?
Well, if anything, it took less preparation because command makes you smart. You know, if you're able to locate the ball where you want to, people think you're a pretty smart pitcher and vice versa. You could be the smartest pitcher in the world, but if you're not throwing the ball where you want, you're not going to come out as a very smart pitcher. So I think command definitely makes you smart, but the ability to throw the ball where you want to will definitely help your game planning.
It's interesting. Major League Baseball instituted a pitch clock last year. You once threw a 78-pitch masterpiece in just over 2 hours. I was thinking if anyone was ever made for the pitch clock era, it would have been you because you worked so quickly. What do you think of the pitch clock now?
Well, I would have loved it, and I like to call it the batter's clock. Now the batter, he has to get in the box and hit. And what is it, 8 seconds the pitcher can start to deliver the ball? So I kind of rushes the hitter, I think, a lot more than the pitcher. You know, I think there were lots of ABs that hitters would step out, walk back, grab more pine tar, listen to their walk-up song for an extra 15 seconds. You know, there was a lot of that going on. So I think I would have loved it. I think it would have sped the hitters up. I felt like I was always waiting on them to get in the box anyway. So I think it just would have been a cleaner, crisper game like it is now. It's actually working today. I mean, you see, it's benefiting the game of baseball. And I think it would have worked great 30, 20 years ago.
Yeah. Now, that's interesting. One of the other things that's so interesting about you is I've heard you do other interviews and you talk about it was really important to you to be more than just a pitcher. You wanted to be a complete baseball player. You have 18 gold gloves. You are a good hitter. You stole 11 bases in your career. Like, you did a little bit of everything. Why was it important to you to have the whole package?
Well, because I think that's part of winning a game. I think you have to do the little things correctly. You know, you always hear the little things add up. So I believe in that. It's something I believed in. So I made it a point to be able to do the little things. At least try to improve on the little things. And, you know, it's all part of winning a game. I think it's hard enough to win a game, but it's real easy to go out there and beat yourself sometimes. And I tried to limit the mistakes I made and tried to force the other team to beat me and did what I can to not beat myself. And I think that comes from running the bases correctly, filled in a bunt, having a good game plan, things that you do on the days you're not pitching, I think definitely help you once the game starts.
Who first taught you the game of baseball?
Probably my dad, obviously. You know, when I was 4, 5, 6 years old, you know, he'd have his glove on one hand and the bat in the other, and he'd hit his ground balls. My brother would be out there. I think watching my brother have success, you know, in high school and college and getting drafted, you know, all these things happened as I was growing up. He was 4.5, 5 years older than me. So I always had that role model to kind of look up to. And I realized that I'm probably as good as he is. You know, I can do what he's doing, and maybe I could do it better. Maybe if I try harder, I could do it better. So I think it was just kind of that attitude of not being overwhelmed against better competition because of what I've seen my brother do growing up during his career.
Your brother has been a very successful pitching coach. I know he got a ring with the Rangers. I know you did a little consulting for them. I know that you volunteer coached at UNLV when your son was there. Do you ever have dreams or aspirations to be a pitching coach or work full time for an organization?
I really don't. I played for 25 years and I've done some part-time coaching over parts of the last 15 years. And I also like retirement. You know, I love being retired. I think anybody that doesn't like retirement is probably not doing it right. So I think I try to do the right things when I retire, and I'm having a lot of fun. We're expecting our first grandkid here in a month or two, and traveling with the wife and family and doing things like that. I put my time in baseball. I still love baseball. I like watching. I like to give back a little bit, but to do it full time is not something I'm kind of ready to do right now.
A lot of guys struggle with retirement. They don't know what to do. So you say you're doing retirement well. What's the key?
The key is doing things we enjoy. I enjoy playing golf. We have a place in California. We travel back and forth from Vegas to California, depending on the weather. You know, if it's not good weather in Vegas, it's usually good weather in California. So we'll head to Southern Cal and enjoy our time out there on the beach. And we enjoy watching TV. We enjoy Netflix. We enjoy cooking, going out, spending time with our friends, card games, having wine, things like that. So we're content.
What's on the Greg Maddux watch list? What are you watching on TV right now?
I tell you what, right now I'm watching the New England Patriots Dynasty.
Isn't it good? I had the director on last week.
Yeah, it's real good. It's real good just to, you know, hear Tom Brady and his comments and recognize his skills as a leader, not only a great athlete, but he has the ability to lead and to lead that locker room. It's pretty impressive. You look back and you're like, oh, I remember that game. You know, I remember these things happening. So it's just kind of a trip down memory lane. I've always enjoyed football in the off season, and it's a good one. I'm looking forward to finishing it up here pretty soon.
What makes a good leader?
Well, winning, obviously. I think you have to win to be a good leader. I mean, and you know, that's really what it boils down to, is to have success and do it better than your competitors or your opponents. However you want to say it. So I think it all starts with winning, and winners seem to have more success, and that's kind of how I look at it.
Yeah. I know you're in Las Vegas, like you just said, part-time. Will Major League Baseball work in Las Vegas if it comes there?
I sure hope so. I'm looking forward to finding out, that's for sure. I know the Raiders and the Knights are doing really well here, and our WNBA team's doing fine. The Triple-A franchise had a lot of success, and you know, we got over 3.5 million people here now. And I think if they put a good product on the field, I think fans will show up every night.
Yeah, it's really interesting how Las Vegas has really exploded into this sports capital. You just had the Super Bowl. Did you go to the Super Bowl?
I enjoyed watching it on my couch. I really did.
Me too. Good prices on the couch, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I enjoy the commercials as well, too. So, you know, we had NASCAR going on last week here, so that's pretty cool. So, I mean, you know, Vegas, I think it's going to be okay when the A's get here.
If Glavin and Smoltz come visit you for golf, who's winning in your trio?
Well, Smoltz will probably shoot the low score, but as far as the money goes, that's to be determined. So I think Smoltz's pretty generous with the shots at times, and but I know we'd have a good time playing. I know we're going to play... I'll hook up with those guys in a month or two in Texas and get a chance to reconnect with them down there.
All right, let's talk about what you're doing with Circa Resort and Casino. Opening day, March 28th, you're going to be throwing out the first pitch. This is all benefiting the Baller Dream Foundation. That's a great organization. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about that.
It really is a good organization. My daughter runs it. It's for young adults with cancer. And, you know, they go up to the age of 29, and she has a lot of benefits. She has a lot of events to raise money that will benefit the patients they select. And, you know, it's kind of whatever the kid's into. You know, he wants to go on a fishing trip in Alaska, we'll do that. They want to go to a Laker game, we'll do that. You know, if he wants to go back east and visit his family, we'll do that. So everybody's a little different. They all have different wants and needs, and raise money for those kids to give them an opportunity to do something that they want to do. You know, their time could be limited, so we try to make the most out of the time they got.
And then I know you have a celebrity poker tournament coming up April 27 and 28, mm-hmm. also at Circa Resort and Casino. That's also benefiting the Baller Dream Foundation.
Absolutely. You know, looking forward to that. We had it for the first time last year, and we raised a decent amount of money. Hopefully this year we'll do even better. You know, we got a lot of guys coming in. I know Goose Gossage, Raleigh Fingers, Roger Clemens, those guys played in it last year. Tito Ortiz, you know, we had a UFC guy in there. It was cool getting to know him a little bit. So, you know, it's low key. It's a lot of fun. It'll give the people that register a chance to hang out with hopefully some athletes that they grew up watching. And, you know, we'll raise money for a great cause. And, you know, Circa is a great casino, very good restaurant. They got a great restaurant in there. Barry's, we'll eat there. But we'll just have a little weekend trip in Vegas and have some fun and raise money for a terrific cause. And we hope it's a success. Should be fun. It was fun last year. So
I see Randy Johnson is part of the group coming in. So you guys were such fierce competitors. You each won 4 Cy Young Awards. Who's the better poker player?
Well, it's a good question. I never played with Randy to sit down and play poker with him, but Randy's a bright guy. I'm sure he knows what he's doing. You know how poker is. You know, you can have a great night, can make good decisions, bad decisions, or get covered up with good cards. So, you know, we'll have fun playing, but it's all for charity, and we'll have fun.
Yeah, I know people can go to ballerdream.org. or they can go to CircaLasVegas.com. Greg, this has been so much fun. Thank you so much. Just a big admirer of how you conducted yourself on and off the field during your career. I'm glad you're enjoying retirement. It's so wonderful that you're raising money for a great cause like this. And I just appreciate you joining me on Sports Business Radio.
All right. Well, thank you.
You're listening to Sports Business Radio. We'll be right back.
5G is here. Is your stadium ready? From an immersive fan experience to efficient game day operations, 5G is transforming sports and entertainment. If you're ready to jumpstart your 5G transformation, look no further than Boingo Wireless. Boingo is one of the largest operators of indoor wireless networks in the U.S. They provide stadiums and arenas with state-of-the-art 5G networks and support teams across the NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, Major League Soccer, and NCAA. I'm constantly interacting with sports executives, and the reason they love working with Boingo is because Boingo manages 5G and Wi-Fi networks end-to-end, offloading very stretched IT teams. Whether your stadium is looking to support mobile ticketing, cashless payment, or connected operations, Boingo has you covered. But don't just take it from me. Their customers include world-class venues like Soldier Field, State Farm Arena, Petco Park, and University of Louisville. Boingo and 5G, now that's what I call a win-win. For a limited time, Boingo has a special offer for Sports Business Radio listeners. They are offering a free 5G assessment for your stadium or arena. To get started, simply email sbradio@boingo.com and mention this podcast. That's sbradio@boingo.com. Our thanks to Boingo for their continued support of Sports Business Radio.
Well, that's it for this edition of Sports Business Radio. Thanks for tuning in. And thanks to the Sports Business Radio team, Brian Griggs, Nicole Wardle, and Josh Blank. A reminder to kindly subscribe to our award-winning podcast. Our feed features 20 years of podcasts with the biggest names in sports and business. Go to Apple or Spotify podcasts and click on the plus sign in the upper right-hand corner. That way, every episode of Sports Business Radio will be delivered to your listening device each week. We'd love to have you give us a 5-star rating and write a review of our podcast as well. It'll take you just 2 minutes. I'm Brian Berger. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon right here on Sports
Business Radio.
Follow Sports Business Radio on Facebook, X at SB Radio, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and online at sportsbusinessradio.com. SBR is produced by Brian Griggs at GriggsProductions.com.